The text that we're going to consider tonight is found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It's one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, that fruit which is joy. But in connection with that, we're going to read out of Philippians chapter 4 tonight. Philippians 4. We're going to read the first 13 verses of Philippians chapter 4. The epistle of Paul to the Philippians has often been called the epistle of joy because Paul often writes about joy in this epistle. And it's striking that he does so because he's writing this epistle from prison and facing death himself, and yet he writes about joy to the church in Philippi. And so we read about that here in Philippians 4. As I said, we'll read the first 13 verses. This is the word of God. "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Odias, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received, and heard, and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And thus far, we read God's word here in Philippians. Now, we turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, I'll read both those verses to remind us of the fruit of the Spirit. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And now we're going to be looking at just that one word out of Galatians 5:22, joy. In the world in which we live, there is so much complaining and bitterness and ingratitude. We live in a world where people want joy. They express it this way: they want to be happy. But yet, they're on a quest for happiness, for something they cannot find. And they cannot find it because they do not know Jesus Christ. It's in the midst of such a world where there is so much bitterness and ingratitude and complaining that the child of God certainly stands out in the joy that we have in the Lord. But we see and understand that the difficulty is not just out in the world, but finding joy can be difficult for us as well. It is certainly true in We reflect upon that in another week of Thanksgiving, but we have plenty of food. We have medical care when we need it. We can go on vacations, most of us, if not all of us, and we have stuff. We have stuff in abundance. So much so that we begin to think that these things that we have in our lives are rights and privileges that we deserve. We forget that all of these things and all that we have, that they are all gifts of God to us. And then we become focused on these things, having the stuff and easy circumstances in our lives. It may be a struggle for us to find true joy. What about for you tonight, where you're at? Are you struggling to find joy? Are you struggling to have that in your daily lives with the things that are going on? Do we maybe start to think that it's impossible to find this joy? The Word of God to us declares to us that it is possible for us to find joy. It is possible for us to have joy because joy is a gift of God. It's not just an emotion. It's not something that we just feel and have when things are going a certain way. But joy is the gift of God that He gives to us when He gives to us salvation. Where there is salvation, there is joy, even the joy of salvation. There is joy in Jesus Christ. And that's true because in Jesus Christ, we have everything that we need. Think about it. He gives us security. He gives us provision. He gives us guidance. He gives us truth. He gives us forgiveness. He gives us fellowship with God and so much more. Yes, there are difficulties and there are sorrows in life. There are things that break our hearts and things that make us very sad. But real joy is not based on circumstances. It's based on what we have in Jesus Christ. That's what we want to see and understand tonight. This joy that we're speaking of is an aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 speaks of that fruit of the Spirit. There is one fruit of the Spirit. It's in the singular there in Galatians 5:22. And that one fruit of the Spirit is love. But there are many different aspects to that fruit. Now, when we say fruit of the Spirit, one of the ideas of that very picture or illustration that the Scriptures give to us here is that fruit is sweet. Think of a Honeycrisp apple. It's apple season or just past apple season. A Honeycrisp apple, you bite into it and there's a sweetness to it. Or we just got some of the first oranges of the season from the grocery store. And the first orange I had was sweet. Think of a sweet orange. You bite into it and it's delicious. That's the idea here, at least in part, of the fruit of the Spirit. This fruit of the Spirit, which is love, is sweet. It tastes good. It's the gift of God to us in Jesus Christ. Now, that one fruit is love. But there are many aspects to it, and that's the idea of the rest of the words that follow in Galatians 5:22 and 23. We see in these aspects the sweetness of the fruit of the Spirit. Tonight we look at this one aspect, the aspect of joy, which is part of love. So with that in mind, we consider tonight the fruit of the Spirit, joy. We notice first the character of this joy. Secondly, the reasons for joy, and they'll be giving five reasons that we have for living in joy, and then finally, the life of joy that follows from that. When you consider joy, and you start looking through all of the scripture passages on joy, and then you deal as well with our own probably wrong understanding of what joy is. It becomes difficult to come to an understanding of what joy is, or more precisely, to define what joy is. We think we know it just because we think right away of joy, happiness. And I know when I'm happy, and I know when I'm not. But we have to see and understand that joy is different than what we might think about as the feeling of happiness. So what is this joy? I'll give you a definition that I think encapsulates well what joy is. It's this. It's a spiritual gift of God worked in us by the Holy Spirit. And the gift is this. It's a gladness of heart in knowing the good God in Jesus Christ. So I'll say it again. Joy is a spiritual gift of God worked in us by the Holy Spirit, which is a gladness of heart in knowing the goodness of God in Jesus Christ. Now, in this first point of the sermon, what I want to do is unpack that. I want to look at that from the Scriptures. And the first part of the first point is that first part of the definition. Joy is a spiritual gift of God worked in us by the Holy Spirit. And the second part of this first point, I want to see that it's a gladness of heart in knowing the goodness of God in Jesus Christ. So this first of all, joy is the gift of God. It's a spiritual grace that is worked in us by the Holy Spirit. Now that corrects a couple of wrong ways in which we might view joy. We must get rid of these notions of joy out of our minds. As I've said, we tend to think that joy is a happiness, a mood or feeling that we can't help. It's something that happens because of the circumstances. I'm happy because of what happens, or I'm not happy because of what happens. We tend to take a deterministic view of that. I can't help what I feel. I feel happy, or I might not feel happy. We might think, for example, that when it comes to happiness, we have a right in the morning to be crabby because I'm not a morning person. Maybe some of you kids aren't morning people, aren't morning kids, so you're not very happy in the morning. We think it's our right to be crabby, or if something doesn't go our way, we think it's our right to be crabby. We don't have to be happy. But in that context, we ought to see, and we'll look at that later, that joy is actually commanded in Philippians 4, and it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Not always except, not part of the time, but rejoice in the Lord always. So joy is not a mood or feeling. It's not simply our emoting. But also, we should understand that this spiritual joy is not something that you and I can find of ourselves. We need God to give it to us. It's His gift to us. So that's what we see and understand here, that as children of God, we have joy worked in us by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit works this joy in us when He works love in us. Romans 5 verse 5 says that love is worked in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And when that love is worked in our hearts, also joy is worked in us. That's evident from the fact that in Galatians 5 verse 22, we're told that the fruit of the Spirit is love. And when we have that love, then we have everything else that follows as well, including joy. Along with that, we look at Romans chapter 15. Romans 15 and verse 13, where we read there also that this joy is the gift of God. Romans 15 verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. God has to give that joy. That's what we read there in Romans 15, verse 13. But here's what's striking when we consider that. Not only does God give that joy, and not only is God the source of joy, but He is the source of joy because He is a God who does rejoice. Joy is something that is found in God himself. A passage of Scripture tells us that. It's the prophecy of Zephaniah, which probably is not all that familiar to us, but Zephaniah 3, verse 17, we read there, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." We find there in that passage that God is rejoicing. Joy and rejoicing are found in God himself. And then we can understand that when it's connected to love, because God is a God of love in himself. He's a God who lives in perfect fellowship as the triune God, and as the God who lives in perfect fellowship in himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He delights in himself. There is joy that is found in himself. But also read there then in Zephaniah 3:17 that he rejoices in his people. When he looks down upon us, there is joy in his heart and joy in the mind of God himself. There is joy in God as he perfectly accomplishes his plan. When he created the heavens and the earth, no doubt, God was a God who is rejoicing in the great goodness of his creation. And as his purpose is being accomplished every day in this world and in our lives, he's rejoicing in that. And we know that our God is a God who grieves. He grieves sin. The Holy Spirit grieves. We know that our God is a God who is angry. He hates sin and he is angry against sin. But our God is also a God who is joyful, who rejoices. This God is the God who gives us joy in our hearts. And that's what we need to see and understand. When we think there couldn't be joy in our lives, God is able to give us this joy. The Holy Spirit works joy in his people. That's what we sang a few moments ago. He's a God who turns our mourning into dancing. He's a God who turns our sorrow into joy. Even in the midst of sorrows, he gives to us joy and gladness. But understand this. God gives us that not by simply infusing joy in us so that we're happy and we can't explain why. No, God works joy in us through our minds. It's through our seeing and knowing what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, and knowing that God is a God who transforms our minds. He transforms our minds to see and know truth, and that gives us joy in our hearts and in our lives. Now, in connection with this, let's see and understand that God does command joy and rejoicing. That's what we read in Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. It's a command of God to his church. But this is a command that we hear in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. We remember then here that even when it comes to joy, and this joy is worked in us, yet we are called to live in this joy. That tells us on a daily basis that true joy, living in that joy, is a choice that we make. Joy is not based on our feelings. It's not based on our circumstances. It's not something that arises spontaneously from us. But it's something commanded even twice here. And that means that we're called to do it even when we don't feel like it. If you're not a morning person, God still says to you, rejoice in the morning. And when you're struggling at night because of everything that's happened through the day, God says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. But there's something that should be understood about this command to rejoice, to find joy. We live in a world today in which joy or happiness is an ultimate pursuit. It's what the world is after. They want to find happiness and joy in their lives. And it goes something like this in the world. Do whatever makes you happy. If this makes you happy, do it. Whatever it is. Oh, just there's some limits to it. Don't hurt others in this, but in the end, whatever makes you happy, do it. And that's an attack of Satan upon us as well, to think joy is found in doing what we want, indulging ourselves in whatever we want in this world, and there is not happiness in that. We must understand that the command to joy, and even looking at this joy tonight, joy is not our ultimate pursuit in life. God did not give us joy to be the ultimate pursuit of life. But it's joy that is rooted in God and His work. So we've seen, first of all, tonight that joy is the gift of God through the work of the Holy Spirit, yet commanding us to live in it. The second thing we want to see is that this joy is a gladness of heart, a gladness of heart in knowing the goodness of God in Jesus Christ. This spiritual joy that we have is rooted in something sure and rock solid. It's joy that we have in the Lord. It's rooted in love. It's rooted in knowing the love of God. It's rooted in fellowship with God. It's rooted in knowing God's goodness in Jesus Christ. Scripture emphasizes to us over and over again that true joy is not rooted in circumstances. It's not rooted in how much money we have, having power, having good looks, or having many friends. Happiness in this world will not be found in things going our way. It's not based on a quantity, how much that we have. And that's part of what Paul is saying in the book of Philippians. Remember, I said that Paul is writing about joy in this epistle? It's striking that he's writing about joy in this epistle because he wrote this epistle on the occasion of the church in Philippi being worried about him. He's in prison in Rome. He's facing death. He writes often about death in this epistle. Yet at the same time, he writes about joy. He writes about joy to a church in Philippi that was persecuted severely for their confession of the name of Jesus Christ, for standing fast in the truth of His word. And Paul's writing in a time of intense suffering for him. But isn't it striking? With all of the suffering that Paul had, he was one of the most joyful men that ever lived. He went through so much suffering in his life, persecution that was ongoing as an apostle of Jesus Christ, and yet he was a joyful man. He found joy in trials, as we read in James 1, verse 2. That tells us tonight that we must quit trying to find joy in things. We must quit trying to find joy in things that we think that will satisfy us, and finding the next exciting thing. Just in talking to people and some of the circumstances that they've had, members of my own congregation, in their own work, and as they walk in and out amongst others in the world. I had a conversation just recently with a member of my own congregation. He said that was very true, that there was a man who went from one thing to another, a man he worked with, always looking for the next exciting thing. And the one thing before wasn't enough, and then now his next exciting thing is he's going to be a woman. And he's so excited about that, that now he's been liberated because now he doesn't want to be called by his male name anymore. He wants to be called by a female name now. And this is very exciting for him. And he says it that way. But that's where the pursuit of joy and happiness in this world goes. It goes on and on with no end in sight, trying to find the next great thing to find joy. And that can be true in a pursuit of fun in the world in which we live. We must stop trying to find joy in the things of this earth. Joy is found in the Lord. It's found in the relationship of love and friendship that we have with God in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Philippians 4, verse 4, the Lord there is the Lord Jesus Christ. That tells us that joy is Christ-centered. It's always Christ-centered, and not at all self-centered. This is what is sure and certain no matter what the circumstances of life are. We know Jesus Christ. We know that in Him we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We know His love. We know His mercy. We know His death upon the cross. We know that we find everything that we need in Jesus Christ. We know that He is the Lord. He is the Lord who is ruling over all things. And what that means then is that in our seasons of darkness and difficulty and suffering, we can find joy in that which is unchanging. It's the love of God for us in Jesus Christ. It's the goodness of God to us in Jesus Christ. That is where our joy is found. And it is found along with that then in a life of serving God. There is joy founded in communing with God, fellowshipping with God, as we do here in worship, as we do in our family worship, and as we do individually as well, drawing near to God in prayer and in the reading of His Word. There's no joy to be found in a life of sin. Don't believe the world in all that it says. There's no happiness to be found there. The way of sin is always hard. It promises us to be easy, but the way of sin is always hard. True joy is not found in that life of sin. It's found in the Lord, in a life with God, lived in fellowship with Him. And this joy is an everlasting joy. It's a joy without end. We have the beginning of it in this life. The fullness is to come in heavenly glory. In heaven, there will be joy, the fullness of joy that Jesus speaks of in John 15, verse 11. And we know as well that there is nothing that can take this joy away from us in this life and in the life to come, because it is the gift of God. So this is joy, the gift of God in the Holy Spirit, this gladness of heart in which we know the goodness of God in Jesus Christ. But as I said earlier, this joy is worked in us in the way of knowing something. And so we want to consider reasons tonight for joy, that we have joy. And in a moment, I'm going to be giving to you five reasons that we have for rejoicing in the Lord. But before I get to those five reasons, understand this. This joy is worked in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And when this joy is worked in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, it is rooted in the knowledge of faith. Joy is rooted in the knowledge of faith. As the Lord works in us, as the Holy Spirit works in us, we've said that this joy is rooted in that which is concrete, in that which is real, that which is solid. The joy of this world is rooted in things that are fleeting, that change constantly. But our joy is rooted in something that is solid. It's rooted in what we know of God Himself. To put another way, our joy is rooted in theology. Our joy is rooted in Christology. Our joy is rooted in the knowledge of God and the knowledge of Jesus Christ that we have because faith is a gift of God to us. We know, don't we, the one true and living God. We know His power. We know His majesty. We know His greatness because He has opened our eyes to see and know that as that is revealed here in the Holy Scriptures. Now, with that in mind, we want to see and understand that our joy is rooted in this truth that we know. So I set before you five truths. Not exhaustive. There are other things that could be added, maybe more subpoints that could be part of it, but five reasons that we have for joy. The first is this. The God that we know, the God who is holy, is the God who rules over all things. God is sovereign. Our joy is rooted in the sovereignty of God. He's ruling over all things through Jesus Christ. His rule over our lives is right and good. It always is. No matter what those circumstances are, in the disappointments of life that we know to be out of our control, because all things are out of our control, God is good in His rule. He is the sovereign God of heaven and earth. He has created the heavens and the earth, and He rules over everything that happens in this world. All things are ruled by Him according to His sovereign decree, and He rules over all things through Jesus Christ, who came to this world, suffered, died, rose again, and ascended into heaven to that position of rule. We rest in the confidence of His sovereignty. That's Psalm 115. Psalm 115 says, "Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased." And what follows in Psalm 115 is this: because that's true, trust in the Lord. And it's repeated in the end of the psalm. Trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield, all rooted in the sovereignty of God. Not only is our trust rooted in the sovereignty of God, but our joy is rooted in the sovereignty of God. This God who rules over all things is ruling over our lives, and His rule is always right and good, even if we cannot understand what it is that He's doing. We are a joyful people because we know that God in Jesus Christ rules. Secondly, second reason for joy, God saves. God saves. This God who's sovereign over all is the God of our salvation. He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us from our sins by His suffering. And our Lord Jesus Christ, listen to the word, joyfully gave Himself to that suffering to do the will of His Heavenly Father for our salvation. He delighted to do the will of God. He suffered in that delight, in that joy. It doesn't mean it was always easy. Our Savior wept. Our Savior sweat, as it were, great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. He struggled, and yet at the same time, there was joy in Him. He joyfully gave Himself to make payment for all of our sins. And through Him, we are saved. We have, because of that work of Christ upon the cross, the forgiveness of sins. We are declared righteous by God on the basis of that finished work of Jesus Christ. We have within us as well the blessings of salvation that He has earned for us. We are saved completely and fully from the guilt and punishment of our sins because He took upon Himself that bitter cup of our suffering. And through this work, in which God was delighted, we are saved. And this is why there's joy and gladness in this work of Christ. That means for you and I, we will never, ever face the wrath of God. You and I will never, ever face the wrath of God. Because our Savior did in our place. And because of that, I'm forgiven, I'm justified, and I have everlasting life. That's what David expressed in Psalm 51. His prayer in Psalm 51 is, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and take not away thy free spirit, thy Holy Spirit from me." That's what David prayed. He prayed that he would have the joy of that salvation, and he did in knowing the mercy of God. That's where we have joy as well, knowing the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. Not only that, but our God saves us from our corruption. He has given to us a new nature. He has given to us a new life. The Holy Spirit has given to us the life of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we have a desire to serve him. We have a desire to fellowship with him. We have a desire to draw near unto him. We love the God who has saved us. And that is why there is joy for us. There is joy because we are saved by God. So first, there is joy because God is sovereign. Secondly, there is joy because he saves us. Third, there is joy because God fellowships with us. Our joy is found not just in deliverance from the guilt and punishment of sin, but in being saved from the guilt and punishment of sin, we are delivered to have fellowship with God. That's the gift of God's covenant. Communion with him forevermore. God dwells with us, not just when we're here. He dwells with us at every moment because his Spirit is living in our hearts. And as the sovereign God, he is ruling over all things by his power, and he is with us in his love, and he fellowships with us in this life, and his promise to us. And how amazing that promise is he will never leave us nor forsake us. Never does he leave us or forsake us. He holds us in his everlasting arms. His goodness and his mercy follow us all the days of our lives, as we read in Psalm 23. This God is the author and the finisher of our faith. This God is the sovereign God who's ruling in our lives. And this God is pleased to fellowship with us. Awful, ugly, poor sinners, but sinners redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Is that not where we find our joy? We find our joy in fellowship with God because God is pleased to fellowship with us. That is why our worship ought to be a joy-filled and a joyful worship every Lord's Day, remembering the very fact that God is pleased to meet us here and to fellowship with us, his people. We have a foretaste of that which we will have in heaven, but we have it now. That fills our hearts with joy and gladness, and we need to remember that. Not just for worship, but every day that our God fellowships with us. And this is what we will enjoy forever in the new heavens and the new earth. That's God's promise to us in Revelation 21, that he will dwell with us and we will dwell with him. That's the joy of heavenly glory. God fellowships with us. That's why we have joy. Fourth, another reason for joy is that God makes us part of his church. He makes us part of his church. It's so easy to be negative about the church. It's easy to be negative about the church because there's a lot of sin within the church. The church is made up of sinners, but sinners who are saved by the grace of God. And in our day, there are many who complain about the church. We must not forget, in the midst of all of the sin that's found in the church and the struggles that are found in the church, being part of the church is a gift of God that ought to bring to us great joy. Being part of the church is a gift of God. The church belongs to God. The church is loved by God. The church is described in Scripture as the beautiful bride of God and the bride of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The point is, when we love God, remember this is the fruit of the Spirit, when we love God because he has put his love in our hearts and we know the love of God for us, we love his bride because he loves his bride. Do we? Do we love the church? Especially the congregation that we are a part of. Do we see that there is great reason for us to give thanks for the church? You see, when God chooses us and redeems us and works in us the life of Jesus Christ, what he does with that is he places us within the church. He is the one who builds his church, and he rejoices in that work of building his church and dwelling with his church as well. And the Lord cares for his church. Let's remember tonight a few of the things that he gives us within the church. First of all, he gives us the preaching of the gospel and along with that, the sacraments. What a great blessing we have to have the preaching of the gospel. We have truth we need to hear. We have truth that comforts. We have truth that gives hope. We have a precious heritage that is ours, handed down from the generations before, the beautiful Reformed faith that declares the sovereignty of God in salvation, that God does everything to save us and to bring us into fellowship with himself. This is ours within the church. Not only that, he gives us fellowship with other believers. So we're not alone in this life. It might feel like at times that we're alone in our sufferings and in our trials and that others don't understand, but the reality is we are surrounded by other believers who help us, who want to help us. We're surrounded by sinners, yes, sinners saved by grace. Those who have gone through hardship and suffering themselves and are able to comfort us with the comfort wherewith they've been comforted of God. Others who stand alongside of us when we're struggling in sin. We might not want them to stand alongside us, but they do nonetheless to encourage, to call to repentance, to show us and set before us the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. What a great blessing we have in this fellowship in the church. And he protects us and preserves us in the church with his promises. He declares these promises to his church, and they're repeated within the church and declared to one another within the church. We are richly blessed within the church, and this is a reason for us to give joy. God makes us part of his church. And then fifthly, this reason for joy, God works all things for our good. Romans 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. This is the promise of God we need to know in the midst of our suffering. That's a verse that declares God is sovereign, but it's more than just God is sovereign. He's got a purpose in all things that happen to us in this life, our sufferings and the things that aren't suffering as well. All means all. He's working all things for our good. We see our trials and hardships from that perspective. We saw at the very beginning that joy is rooted in knowing the goodness of God in Jesus Christ. What is that goodness of God in the midst of trial and suffering? What is the good that God is accomplishing in our lives through all that he sends? Well, the next verse tells us it's being conformed to the image of his Son. This is the purpose of God in our suffering, to conform us to the image of his Son. We must never think that God has some hidden purpose for our suffering that maybe in heaven one day we're going to find out. The reality is, beloved, that God has told us what he is accomplishing through the sufferings of this life in all things. I believe the problem for us is we don't want that to be enough, and it's not enough for us. We want there to be something higher and better. But the reality is there is nothing higher and better than being conformed to the image of his Son, to be more righteous, to be more holy, to be filled with the knowledge of faith and to know our God as he reveals himself to us. This is what God is doing. He's conforming us to the image of his Son, and there is nothing better or higher than that. When we see and know that, does that not fill us with joy? It doesn't take away the suffering. The sufferings of this life are grievous. They hurt. We cry. But even in the midst of that crying, there can be joy. Doesn't mean we always have a smile on our face, but there can be and there is joy because God is working good in our lives through these things. May this drive away then the clouds and the doom. May it drive away the bitterness and the anger in seeing and knowing that God is good no matter what. Five reasons then for joy. God is sovereign. God saves. God fellowships with us. God makes us part of the church. And God works all things together for our good. He knows what begins every one of those. God. It's who God is and what he has done. Knowing that, then, there is a life of joy that follows. And I'll be very brief here, but understand there are a few things we should understand when it comes to a life of joy. When Paul commands us to rejoice, he's commanding us to a certain life of joy. When the Holy Spirit works love in us, which includes joy, there is a life that follows. What is that? Well, joy is not found in a life of sin. Joy is not found in a life of sin. Joy is not found in pursuing the things of this earth, sinful things of this earth, but even the things of this earth, the next fun experience in this life. Joy is not found in those things. But joy instead is lived in a life of thanksgiving and obedience and worship. Joy is an integral part of thanksgiving. So in some ways, you could say this is even part of a thanksgiving sermon, that there's joy. But joy is also part of contentment. Paul speaks of that later in Philippians 4. He learned in whatever state he was therewith to be content. He's content. There's joy that is part of that. But this joy is lived in this way, obedience to God and his commandments. When we are a joyful people, we obey what God calls us to do. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. He joyfully suffered and died, but did that in obedience. This joy is expressed in worship. Worship that is joyful. We ought to be joyful in our worship here. And joyful in the worship in our own lives as well. We should be the most joyful people in all the world. But just think about that for a moment when tomorrow morning rolls around. And when you go back to a normal Monday morning, your kids get up for school, others of you get up for work, and you go through probably the same routine that you go through most every week. And there are things that we don't like to do. From the world's perspective, Monday morning, what a drag. We got to have fun on the weekend. Now we got to go back to work. May that not be our perspective. We were in the house of God. We fellowshiped with our God. We heard about joy, the joy that we have in the Lord. And now we have the opportunity to go out in the midst of this world and worship and serve the God of our salvation with joy and gladness in our hearts. What a different perspective that is, isn't it? And even in the small things. When kids, you've got tests and homework, and mom in the middle of that telling you, go clean your bedroom. You can clean your bedroom with joy, because of these things that I've listed here tonight. Who thinks about cleaning their bedroom with joy always? But the same thing for moms and the work that you have. You go back to the laundry and it's piled up maybe over the weekend, and the dishes are there. And getting kids ready for school, and maybe kids are sick and they're awake during the night. And your dad's going back to work tomorrow morning, and maybe work's not going so well. Maybe it's another employee, or maybe it's the work that you're doing and the struggles that are found in it, or the environment that you're working in and all the rest, and you're struggling to find joy in the midst of that. There is joy. Not because of those things, but because of the God who is our God, the God who we serve and who fellowships with us. So in the midst of this world, because of what we have in Jesus Christ, we ought to be the most joyful people in all the world. Are we? Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, May we in this night, and as we go forward in this new week, be a people who are filled with joy and gladness. Father, give us this joy. Work it in us by the Holy Spirit, especially if we're struggling to have joy in the circumstances of our lives right now. Even where we're sad, we pray, oh God, that thou will give us joy. Joy in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And now wilt thou give us joy in this new week, as we give thanks later in this week, but also as we return to our work and our callings. Father, forgive us when we don't live in this joy like we should. Forgive us in the blood of Jesus Christ. Bless now our fellowship in this night, and we pray for thy blessing upon us as we leave here. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.